The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Hebrews 11:8 gives us something of a commentary on this. So he says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." And from Genesis 22, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the mountain of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. And the two of them went together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. And then picking up at verse 11, "But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham.' 'Here am I,' he replied. 'Do not lay a hand on the boy,' he said. 'Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.' Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, 'The Lord will provide.' And to this day it is said, 'On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided.'" And then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time. He said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, All nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. And then again from Hebrews 11. By faith, when God tested him, Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Friends, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we ask that you would speak to us from your word, that you would open our hearts to the story, your story, and that you would help us to see where we fit in to your story, your call to obedience, to faith, to faithfulness, your call to us to have this relationship that you long for with us. In Jesus' name. Amen. If we were to have backed up just a little bit, we would have found there in the 11th chapter of Genesis, in that bridge chapter, if you will, just a faint introduction of Abram, or Abraham as he would later be called. But he is mentioned secondarily to his father Terah, that Terah leaves Ur of the Chaldees. He takes with him his sons, their wives, his nephew, and he intends to go to Canaan. But he gets hung up in Haran, and he settles for Haran. And we're told that he dies in Haran, that he had missed what could have been his. But in chapter 12, the call comes to Abram. And this time, when Abram hears the words, "Come away. Go from all that you have. Leave all this behind. Take everything. Stake your life, your security, everything on me and upon your faith in me and my faithfulness to you." And says, Abraham believed God. And we're told that it was reckoned, or that God counted that faith and that faithfulness as righteousness, that it made all the difference in the world. Now, was Abraham perfect? Oh, of course not. Did he do just the right things? That's really hard to say that, isn't it? I'm sure that Sarah, when she was basically claimed as the sister, half-sister though she was, to both Pharaoh and later to King Ahimelech of the Philistines, that she would have probably had some reservations about just how good a man and how perfect Abraham was. I'm sure that Hagar would have had some questions as to the perfections of an Abraham who heeded the words of his wife Sarah and sent her and her son Ishmael away. Even though God said, it's okay, I'll take care of you. None of the saints were perfect, were they? As someone has said, all God's people got feet of clay. We are all human. We all have our frailties. We all have our shortcomings. We all have our failings. To be the people that we are called to be, the people that we are capable of being, only by the grace and the power of God. We look to an Isaac who pulled the same stunt with his wife Rebekah, the same king of Ahimelech. You would have thought Ahimelech would have gotten a little bit of a hint along the way, but nah, not so. And of course, then there was the favoritism. The favorite was Esau, you know, the mighty hunter. That, oh, Jacob, he's okay, but ah, that Esau, he's such a wonderful boy. And Jacob was no prize. I mean, he came out of the womb deceiving and conniving and looking for every opportunity to get the upper hand on his brother. You boys don't do that, I'm sure, right? We've never done that. I've never done that with my brother. Okay. Oh, well. Yeah. He got sent away after stealing the blessing with Esau ready to kill him at the first opportunity. And he found himself with Uncle Laban, who was Jacob in spades. He found not only his match, but one who was even more conniving, one who was even more deceitful, one who had even more selfishness and self-centeredness. But something had happened on the way there. Something had happened that had made a change in Jacob. As he was fleeing for his life, sleep was hard coming. I'm sure that he was tossing and turning. What waits for me in Paddan Aram? What in the world am I going to find there? And how am I going to be received? What does life hold? And then, in this unlikely spot that the natives or the people of the land called Luz, he has this amazing dream. A dream of a ladder that reaches to heaven and angels ascending and descending on it. And then of God speaking and declaring that he will be with him in the same way that he has been with his grandfather and his father before him, and that God will bless him. I'm sure in those roughly 20 years that he spent with Laban that, okay, God, what have you done for me lately? That, oh, this guy's murder. This guy, how do you deal with this? But he dealt, and he did it. And God blessed him. And as he left, heading home with all he had, he comes with more frustrations, more doubts. And there at the brook of Jabbok, with Esau coming to meet him with 400 men, it did not look good. And that night, it says he wrestled with a man. And he wrestled all night long. And when the morning came, the man said, "Let me go." And he holds on for dear life and says, "I won't let you go unless you bless me." It seems that he knew that he was not wrestling with an ordinary man, that this was much more. And there his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. And he realized that he had been wrestling with God. Have you ever wrestled with God? Have you ever known what God wanted, but you wanted to bend God to your will? And you wanted God to do the things the way you wanted him to do? Abraham had done that, hadn't he? It said when God was promising Isaac, "Oh, that Ishmael could stand before you. Oh, Lord, that you would just look favorably upon this boy. He is such a special child." And God is saying that, "I'll bless him. But that's not where my plan is leading. There where you've helped me out, that wasn't my doing." And it's hard to wait on God, isn't it? Sometimes it seems that God's patience is just so much greater than ours that we reach that breaking point and just can't hold it anymore and just have to try to help God along. Abraham and Sarah. And the scriptures tell us numerous times of those who tried to help out God. Sometimes with difficult and devastating circumstances. Frazee speaks of it as nation building, that God had another plan, that the garden hadn't worked out. Adam and Eve had blown it. The only one that made it in the end was Noah. And he and his family were no prize. And now God starts building this nation. This nation with a purpose in mind. The purpose of Jesus. You see, there's a hint of the heart of the story there in that 22nd chapter of Genesis. As we are told the story of God calling Abraham to sacrifice his son, his only son whom he loves, on Mount Moriah and on the place that he will show him. And even as he had left family to obey God in coming to Canaan, he moves on to obey God. I'm sure it must have been with a heavy heart. The writer of Hebrews tells us that he had enough faith that he believed that God could even deliver Isaac from death. And that, in a sense, that's exactly what God did. Abraham's words became prophetic. God will provide the sacrifice. For those who read those words many, many years ago, before Jesus came, it had to be an appalling story. Oh, that God would ask such a thing, but then, oh, it's only a test. Thank God. But you see, God really did provide the sacrifice. Oh, it was more than the sacrifice that day of a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. It was more than that sacrifice that Abraham offered instead of his son. You see, on Mount Moriah, or a place that we refer to in New Testament times as Golgotha, Calvary, Jesus, there on that center cross, this innocent, this blameless man, this blameless Son of God was sacrificed. He died for our sins. By his blood, we have been made whole. What we couldn't do, what everyone has been too weak and too frail to do on our own, God did. And God has made available to us in Christ Jesus this relationship that he has longed for from the beginning of time. It's the heart of the story. The heart of the story takes us to the very heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your word, for your call upon our lives, for your story that reaches to us a love that is beyond our comprehension. Lord, we ask that you would help us, that we would be a person and a people of faith, that we would be faithful and obedient through your Holy Spirit at work within us, to be the people you call us to be, to enjoy the relationship to which you call us in Christ Jesus. We pray in his holy name. Amen.